verse 10, he says, "We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way." Last week we were talking about that the part of living a life worthy of the Lord, and we talked about the word peripateo, the daily walk in life and so forth. This morning I want to start out in talking about this this part about where he says may please Him in every way. Okay, so keep in mind that this is Paul's prayer for the brethren in the church, that they might please the Lord in every way. So the question then becomes, how do we do that? Okay, how do we please the Lord in every way? Now, he mentions a couple of things here. First of all, he mentions bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in His inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So here's several different things that he mentions that seem to indicate things that we can and need to be doing in order to please the Lord. Okay, look over in 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, right? He says, and he's talking about here, the appeal, verse 3, the appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, he says, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. And then if you go over to chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Okay? So here's this seems to be, this is one of those examples we talked about as we began the study, where we see, you know, the similar kinds of things that Paul writes to the church in Colossae that he wrote to the other churches and so forth. These kind of main themes of his. And one of them is this idea of living a life that pleases the Lord. Okay, so it's an important instruction for us. In other words, I think what Paul's wanting us to do, whether we're from the church in Colossae or the church in Thessalonica or any other, is that we need to be focusing the way that we are living, our walk in life that we talked about last time, in such a way that the Lord is pleased with our daily walk. Okay? And keep in mind, he mentioned to the brethren there in Thessalonica that they were already doing that, but then what does he say? We urge you to do this what? Do it more and more. Okay? So, let's talk about this idea of how do we live in our daily life to please the Lord. And at what point should we ever be satisfied with where we are? Okay? All right. Okay. Yes.
I was just saying we never be satisfied. As long as we live on this earth, and as long as we go about doing the Lord's will, as long as we got breath, we work until we end.
Okay.
So we never be satisfied, even in what we do, whether we are actually walking or actually, you know, as we live our lives in faith.
Okay.
We're still good with the intent to please God and doing what we can to spread His word and lead by example.
Okay. What is it about life that requires us to do this more and more? Something that we have to recognize. Okay, it's the sin, but there's something else here, though.
That the devil is constantly at us 24/7.
Okay.
Give up self, yourself more and more every day, and give more to Him to control.
Okay.
We tend to want to hold on to self.
Okay. All right.
I think.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same as Elder.
Right.
You know, the more we practice it, the more we're going to walk pleasing to God.
Okay.
It's an ongoing process.
Okay. It the idea that I want you to understand here is that we change in life, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if each of you go back, you know, just go back 5 years or maybe 10 years and ask yourself, where was I 10 years ago in my relationship with God? Has that changed? Okay? Has the life experiences that you've had changed you? Challenged you? Say, have you learned things from that? In other words, you're not the same person that you were 10 years ago, I hope. Okay? Because you faced different obstacles over that time period. And hopefully you have grown, okay, from those experiences to be stronger and more mature in Christ and so forth. But is that going to stop? You know, are the rough times in your life, the challenges to life, going to stop? No. They're going to keep coming, right? And so as we face new challenges in life, then we need to continue to grow more.
Right?
Exactly. I think that's why God allows us to go through them. You see, I think sometimes there's this tendency that we can fall into to kind of feel like, okay, I've really worked hard, I've got it all together, I've arrived, and so now I can kind of sit back and relax and just kind of glide, you know, for the rest of the time I have here. And when we do that, that tendency is to do what? Dale, you mentioned a few moments ago, if we're not growing, we're not moving forward, what are we doing? We're moving backwards. See? We may not think we're moving backwards. We think, well, I'm good. But if we're, you know, think about it this way, you know, we're supposed to be growing, we're in Christ, right? Things when they that are living things, which is what we are, when they stop growing, what happens to them? They die. Okay. So if you ever come to a point in your life where you're not growing anymore, you need to be, you got to understand, if you're not growing, you're starting to die. And so I think that's why Paul urges this, you know, you've been doing it, but don't be satisfied with that. We urge you to do it more and more. Don't be satisfied with where you are. There's never going to be a time this side of heaven where you can look at your life and say, okay, I got it all together, I don't have to do any more. If there is, you're in trouble. Okay? Because the things that you experience now are going to help prepare you for things you're going to experience later on down the road. So you learn from these things to prepare for those, okay? And it's a constant growing process. Right? There are things that you are going to experience in the future that you've never experienced before. There are some things that you've been through before, and you'll go, okay, I got this, no problem, right? But there are other things that you've never experienced before. And it will be a first time. Right? So, how do I handle this? That's part of that process of growing. Okay? Because there are things right now that you don't know. Because you've never been there. You've not handled it yet. I tell people in my marriage and family stuff that I deal with, said, you know, I didn't know how to be a dad until I was one. You know, you can read all the books you want to, but until you are one, you don't know how to be one. And I didn't know how to be a father-in-law until I was one. Okay, and then I had to learn how to be a grandparent, you know, because now I'm a grandparent. I didn't know how to do that until I had grandkids. Right? And that's just some of the normal stages of life that we go through that we, you know, had never experienced that. What do I need to do? What do I need to learn? And by the way, those are some areas of our lives, some of the, probably the most important areas of our lives that we need to be learning to please the Lord and living to please Him more and more, right? Because if we're not doing it in our families, then what good is it? Right? Judy?
I was just going to say that the one who walked perfect with God was Christ, and He's our model.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at our own lives, we can see that we need to do that, watching how we walk more and more.
One more.
Because we'll never, on this side of heaven, going to get to walk that perfect walk.
Yeah.
So there is a constant learning that we need to go through.
Right.
To even be pleasing to God. Not saying that we walk that perfect walk as Christ did, but we have to keep growing because, like Dale said, if we don't, you know, we're going to die.
Right. And the key here is that Paul's emphasis is on living to please who? It's God. And we talked about this a little bit last week. We were talking about, you know, the problem is too many people are living to please themselves. Okay, and when we're doing that, our focus is completely in the wrong place. Right? Our target is in the wrong place. Because we cannot be living our life solely to please us. We need to be living to please Him. That's what His emphasis here is. I need to live my life to please God. Right? And that, though sometimes it is an issue of struggling with sin, and trying to overcome sin, but it's not always a sin struggle. Okay? It's just a struggle in terms of how do I do this better? How do I be a better husband? How do I be a better father? How do I be a better grandparent? How do I be a better neighbor? How do I be a better employee? How do I, you know, all of those aspects of life. How can I do that better? Because that's what God wants me to do in my life. And again, that goes back to our peripateo, our daily walk. Okay? And so he goes on talking about then and giving these specific areas. It talks about bearing fruit in every good work. Okay? Galatians chapter 5. What do we need to know about the fruit here? Look at what he says here in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is what? He gives us a list. Right? And so part of, we go back over to Colossians chapter 1, part of living to please the Lord is, he says, bearing fruit in every good work. Well, what kind of fruit? Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, joy. All of those that are the fruit of what? The fruit of the Spirit. So if I am bearing fruit, right, I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then that is evidence of what? Okay, I'm growing, but more specifically, Wes, what were you saying? Yeah, that the Spirit is active and living in my life. Because it's not my fruit, is it? It's His fruit. It belongs to the Spirit. And so the more of that fruit that I am displaying in my life, the more evidence that the Spirit is living and active within me. Right? Because I can't bear that fruit if I don't have the Spirit. If I could, what do I need the Spirit for? You with me? Okay? That's His fruit. And in order for me to bear that fruit, I've got to have Him living and active in my life. I've got to allow Him to be working and living within me. And when I'm doing that, then the evidence is going to be there. People are going to see that in my life. Okay? And when that's happening, then the Lord is pleased with that, right? Okay? So it's bearing fruit in every good work. Then he talks about growing in the knowledge of God. Well, how do I do that? Study. Okay? Living it in my life. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for just a moment. Beginning in verse 14, he says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we are the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of Christ for profit. On the contrary, we speak. In Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." So here is this idea of spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Okay, so not only are we to be learning His Word, okay, and learning about Him in relationship. It's not just a matter of learning, you know, memorizing the Scripture, so to speak. I've known people that can do that, that have done that, and they can spout out Scripture, but you look at their life and you're going, obviously it didn't take, okay? So it's not a matter of just getting intellectual knowledge, but rather it is what? The word that is used here, we've talked about this word lots and lots of times, the word here for knowledge is the Greek word gnosko. Anybody recall what that means? Do what? It's the word to know. It's the Greek word to know, but what does it really mean? What is the application of that word gnosko? To know how. It speaks of knowing in a relationship. It's not intellectual knowledge. It is to know Him in relationship. Okay? So, in other words, as I get to know His Word, okay, I'm not getting to know His Word and learning it just so I can say I learned His Word. I'm getting to know it so that I can do what? I can be draw closer to Him in that relationship and thus walk in a relationship with Him. That's really what it's referring to. To grow in our knowledge is basically the same thing as saying to grow in that relationship. If you think about it this way, relationships that we have with one another. what is it that determines how strong that relationship is that we have with someone? How much we get to know that person? Okay? Now, you know, we know one another here to a certain degree, right? But there are some of us within just this room here right now that know others within this room better than we do other people, right? You say, well, how does that happen? It's the relationship. It's the amount of time that we spend getting to know one another in that way, you see? And so we know one another, we know of one another, we know some things about one another, but the more that we grow in knowledge, gnosko, of one another, the stronger the relationship that we have with one another. You see? And that's what he's talking about here in the same thing with God. That we need to be living a life to please Him. Well, how do we do that? Well, we get to know Him better. Okay? We need to spend more time with Him, getting to know Him in relationship. All right? So we do that by obviously studying His Word, listening to what He's telling us, but we also do it how? What are other ways that we get to know Him? By talking to Him. It's prayer, right? Okay? We need to listen to what He says in our Word, but we need to be listening to Him as we talk to Him in prayer and listening to His Spirit. Okay? That draws us closer in relationship with Him. All right? Any thoughts, comments, questions about that?
That he wanted you to go in is part of this knowledge of God and how much we really need Him in our lives.
Okay.
I experienced that several times in my life by having Him with me through difficult times,
okay.
Also through good times. And that then increases your faith and makes you want to walk more pleasing to Him. So I think not just through prayer, which is a big important part of it, but also look back on your life and see how God worked in your life and get to know Him through that way and understanding that He cares for you, that He wants you to walk in the right way.
Absolutely.
Makes a big difference in how you're going to walk in your day and life.
And it makes all the difference in the world in terms of our spiritual warfare that we engage Satan in every day, okay? Because the more we know Christ, the less that Satan is going to be able to trick us and so forth. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we talk about over and over again what kind of a relationship did God have with Adam and Eve before they sinned. Walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day, right? And that's what he wants here. That's what this is all about, is to get to know God, living to please Him, growing in knowledge. That's the relationship, okay? But what was the problem that Adam and Eve had? Even though they had been walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day, what was Satan able to do? Tempt him how? What was his number one thing that he did? What did he produce in them? Doubt. Right? Did God really say? Okay? The more we know God in relationship, the more difficult it's going to be for Satan to come along to you and to say, did God really say that? Yeah. He said it. I know it two ways. I know it because I know His Word, and I also know it from my relationship with Him. So what? Get thee behind me, Satan. All right? So that's why it's so important for us. We want to please God, to live a life to please Him. We need to get to know Him better in His Word and in relationship. Right? Then, and that, like I say, those daily fights we have with Satan where he's trying to put doubt in our mind, we're going to be much, much easier to be able to fend him off. Isn't that what Jesus did when Satan attacked him in the wilderness? Yeah. He went back to the Word, and he counted on his relationship with the Father. Okay? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. And that's part of the result of the collective relationship that we have with Christ, isn't it? You know, that then pours over to one another. The stronger your relationship is with God, the more you're able to encourage me and I to you. And by the way, that's why God created His church, isn't it? So that we would be that for one another. But it does. It comes back to the relationship with Him. Okay? The third thing that He says here in this part of it is another way to be living to please Him is by being strengthened with all power. Okay? How do we do that? Well, go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me get somebody to read for us so I can rest my throat for a minute here. Let me get somebody to read, first of all, verses 14 to 19. All right.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Okay, so Paul here again, this is part of a prayer that Paul is praying on behalf of the Ephesian church. Okay? So again, similar ideas that he's sharing with the brethren there. And he's praying that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. Okay? The result of that being strengthened then is what? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Right? So again, relationship, Him living and dwelling within us. Now, the result of that kind of power in our lives has what kind of effect? Well, look at what he says next. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. So this is something that all will be able to know, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You ever really thought about that? I mean, just kind of let that slowly sink in a little bit there. Have you ever really thought about how high is God's love?
Every time we realize that He let His own Son be crucified on that cross for somebody like me.
How wide is it? Somebody said this wide. You know? How deep? It goes clear to the bone, doesn't it? Not a surface love. It was all the way through. How long is it? That's forever. That's forever. Just let that sink in. To know God in that kind of a way, to know His power, to have the power to be able to feel that kind of love. Especially in the midst of Satan telling you otherwise in those daily battles that you fight with him. When he's telling you, God doesn't care about you. If he did, he wouldn't be putting you through this. If God really loved you, He wouldn't be making you suffer. He'd heal you. Right, Dolores? Right, Geraldine? He'd take all that pain away if He really loved you, wouldn't He? Why would He be making you go through that if He really loved you? How many times have you heard those lies from Satan? Okay. But when you truly know God's power that enables you to know those things about His love. And again, you're able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know why? Because the troubles that I have right now, Geraldine, Dolores, are what? They're light and momentary troubles, right? No matter how bad they may seem in this life, it's not going to last forever. Dawn?
I feel like from what we've learned that God has a plan for us. And it may not always be pretty and fun and exciting and wonderful. The bad things do happen. But because of those bad things, it makes you become the person you're supposed to be. And it may not seem that way, and people do not believe there is that.
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right. What we're saying here. Chuck? Oh, yeah.
Not realizing that God is the creator of all things that gave you life. Look at the wonder of other creation. It's a simple blade of grass.
Yeah.
I guess it's just phenomenal what he's done. I feel it sometimes. So every now and then I look at the stars. I get weepy. Thinking, he just spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that we see. We don't see the method of all of His magic. We see a part of it. And if there's planets around those bright lights, if there's moons, if there's... Mm-hmm. And there is no beginning, no ending. The depth and breadth. And
yeah.
It's a
yeah, absolutely. And this body that I have right now that struggles and is in pain and hurts every time I take a step, and even sometimes when I don't take a step, I know and I hold on to the promises of God that what's He going to have for me? When I pass from this life, I'm going to get a new body. What kind of body is it? a glorious body, he says. That I won't have to be suffering. I won't have any more of these aches and pains and hurts and all of those anymore. For how long? How long is his love? Forever. Forever. And so, yeah, it's tough right now. But it's temporary. It's temporary. He's got something so much better for me. In eternity. That's how high and how wide and how long and how deep his love is. It transcends all of the struggles that we face in this life. Judy?
And I think it goes deeper than just knowing God loves us. I say you can feel the love that God has for you.
Yeah.
I know I certainly can.
Absolutely.
In my life. And when you get into that relationship with him, the more you feel the love he has for you. And the more you feel that he wants only good for you. That doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen, like we all said.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that God has the best interest for you at heart, whether you like the direction he's taking you in or not. And it's because you feel that love that you do your best to walk that walk.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the power. And that's what he's talking about here. It's the power that God has that he exerts in us, okay, that is able to allow us to know and have confidence in his promises. Okay? When Satan's trying to cause us to doubt, okay, that God's power says, Willie, one day you're not going to have to have that wheelchair anymore. There aren't going to be any wheelchairs in heaven. See? Because this body won't require any. The loneliness that we feel at times in our lives, it won't exist in heaven. See? That's God's power that is working within us every day to help us to stand firm against the powers of this dark world that we are fighting every day. That's what he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, a little bit later here. But he wants us to understand this power we have available to us now. So that's why in Colossians he's saying and he's praying that we would be strengthened with power. Okay? So that we can know God that way. Again, it's the word is used, that's used here is gnosko, to know him in that kind of a relationship. To understand and to know that kind of love. Okay? And then look at verse 20. All right? Now to him who is able to do what? How much more? Exceedingly abundantly, some of your translations say, okay? Or some say immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. According to what? His power that is at work where?
Within
us. That's how it happens. His power at work within us. When we understand that, not just up here, but we understand it here, deep through and through, okay, and his power is able to accomplish what it was purposed to do within us, to strengthen our inner being, so that we can stand firm against Satan. When he's throwing all of his garbage at us, trying to wear us down, cause us to give up, make us feel hopeless, and all those other kinds of things. That's what he does. And he does it very well, by the way. But God's power is much more powerful than Satan's. We need to know that, so that we will learn to rely on his power and not be doubting what's the you know, in falling victim to Satan. Chuck? That's kind of the difference between Jesus and Santa Claus, if you think about it, okay? We don't really seek a relationship with Santa Claus, do we? I mean, I'm talking about for those who believe in him, right? Okay? All right. Why? Because with Santa Claus, what is that all about? Yeah, it's what he's getting given to me, right? But with Jesus, it's all about the relationship. Going back to the garden, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, relationship. And that kind of relationship requires what? It's give and take. Right? Okay. That's what it's about. So, Chuck, you're exactly right. You know, that's what we need to be seeking more and more. Absolutely. Okay, we're out of time. We will pick up here next week. All right, thank you all very much.